Roll call, please, Pat.
Bowman?
Here.
Shoot?
Here.
McNaughton?
Here.
Mobo? Needhammer?
Here.
Nemechek?
Here.
Place? Jeff Ross?
Here.
Monica Ross?
Here.
All right, we did hear from Aaron and Nicole. They both reached out to us and they were going to be able to attend tonight.
I'll make a motion to excuse absence for both of them, please.
Second. I've got a motion, a second, can we have a roll call, Pat?
Needhammer?
Aye.
Nemechek?
Aye.
Jeff Ross?
Aye.
Monica Ross?
Aye.
Bowman?
Aye.
Shoot?
Aye.
McNaughton?
All right, moving on to consent agenda for approval of the minutes from the November 15th meeting.
I move we approve the minutes from November 15th meeting.
Second. All right, I've got a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Moving forward, hearing for citizens present for non-agenda items. Anyone here have anything that they could cover that's not on tonight's agenda? All right. Item 5, Scott, reports?
None tonight.
All right. I don't believe we have any unfinished business for our last meeting, so we will move on to new business, starting with Scott, if you could cover this preliminary review of the Bay Ridge.
Sure.
Can I just say one thing?
Oh.
My realtor was going to present for us today, isn't here. Is there any way we could
move that down on the agenda?
Just flip-flop from the second item?
Yeah, we can do that for you.
Thank you.
All right. We will move on. Oh.
No, they need to be open.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. All right, so moving on then to item B, we'll postpone item A. Preliminary review of the 211 Water Street project, Scott?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. We did get a request for a preliminary review from Kirkby Development for the redevelopment of 211 Water Street. You may recall that as the coming down then of the main river. Basically, they would like to add on a couple residential units upstairs in those units. And those buildings have been historically retail spaces. And this would add some parking demands with those residential units. I believe they're like one bedroom or units.
Correct.
So that would be one space per two parking spaces. So there came today to kind of review this request for the planning commission to discuss what options there are. So I turn it over to them to perhaps give a presentation of what their ideas are.
Thanks, Scott. My name is Ed Kirby. We purchased the property thinking that we had two parking spaces available to us. And we've learned that we don't. Sounds like we don't even have one. In order to make the project financially viable, we need to have two parking spaces. We have to have residential units because we want to clean up the front facades. One has an addition, or one already has an apartment, a small apartment on it, on the west building. And we want to add them back, put some patios, etc. But because of the cost of doing it, we can't afford to keep the buildings just as downtown units. So we need some space. We need some units on top to cover the cost of the building. If we can't do that, then I don't think that we can follow through the original plans, which is to develop the downtown, that part of it. We're trying to bring retail spaces only. No offense to anybody, but we're not trying to get attorneys and real estate agents in there. We want downtown shopping spaces. And we want a porch to build it out by the river so that somebody has a place to sit, enjoy, and be parking. So we want to find out what options are, you know, we can work with, I guess.
Just to clarify, there is 8 feet of pavement to the east side of the building there that historically had been used for parking, but that area doesn't meet minimum order standards for parking spaces because, one, you need the space, and then, two, you need a queuing area to get into the space. That doesn't meet those standards. Adjacent to this lot is Harbor House gentleman's agreement to basically use it, but there is no formal easement or any other allowance for them to access that. Well, I think they had discussions with them as well, just, you know, security and security parking, and I don't think they were interested in that. So the use of that, you know, for parking is limited. It doesn't meet the work standards for, you know, approval.
We've also reached out to Buster's, the owners, trying to purchase some of the property, and that's been unsuccessful as well.
And I take it they weren't willing to discuss easement with you guys either?
Communication is very limited. So we're following through, you know, every few days a week, but it's just not there yet.
So Scott, do you want to go through the different options that have been presented? Or would you like to go through?
I had them read their letter. They talked about the parking improvement fund. That is in the ordinance, but it's nothing that can be utilized at this point. There are two things that needed to happen with that parking improvement fund to make it tool. One is there was the adoption of a parking exempt map that includes all the areas that are within that TIF area. That was done in 2007, but it was repealed through a referendum shortly after it was adopted, and that was kind of associated with the first iteration of the One Water Street project. So that parking exempt map is not effective. And the other piece of that is the establishment of the fee. The city commission has never established, you know, what that fee would be for a parking space. And that's a pretty, you know, in-depth discussion and analysis of itself, the value of parking spaces. So unfortunately, you know, even though it's identified in the ordinance, it's not a tool. Other options are off-site parking area. You can identify spaces up to 300 feet, identify those to be associated with use, and use those to meet your parking requirements. Or also, the planning commission does have the ability to consider a reduction or waiver of parking spots, which it has done in the past. For Stakes, it did that. For Lawson Lake Street, it did that. In the past, it has been done that it's considered for public or retail or commercial uses, whereas residential uses, typically those were maintained. So like in Lawson Lake Street, all the residential uses did have parking designated on site, and the waiver was for a number of the commercial spaces. Mm-hmm. Stations and stuff. So, but it doesn't prevent you from considering that and doing that. It's in past practice. So.
I mean,
go ahead, Larry, I'm sorry.
I was just behind the building, and the back of the building is quite tight to the river. There's quite some terrain undulation, terrain changes there that the parking behind, you may get one spot behind. I don't think you can get two.
And getting to it would be difficult. I mean, they did show some concepts of creating an access between the buildings. Quite frankly, I don't think that's a viable option. I don't think the city would permit another curb cut in that location. And the just logistics of it seems to be not ideal. It would be a dangerous situation in my mind.
Now, the 7.7 feet on the east side, could that be used as a driveway to access the back?
Perhaps, but how you get to it with the current configuration of the curb cut, you know, without crossing the adjacent parking lot.
Do they own the 7.7?
Yes.
Okay. So if they own it, it would seem like that should be a viable access to that rear area.
what he's explaining is there's not a curb cut access to that without going into the neighboring parking lot, which technically they don't have legal easement access.
Right.
Again, looking at that backyard, it's not real wide to even access from that side.
Yeah, it would be a difficult, you know.
Very, very difficult. Now, Scott, go through again, because, I mean, the option B, or the first option where they eliminate the center, and they have one parking spot in the center, that's 13 feet wide, so it's plenty wide enough to go in there. But you're saying curb cut?
A curb cut.
Yeah, you would be putting a curb cut, you know, within 20 feet of two other curb cuts on that road, and, you know, it's the goal to eliminate curb cuts on Water Street, not add them. And, you know, basically you're removing the parking space to put that curb cut in. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of defeating kind of the purpose of putting it in.
But yet, by the same token, this property is practically unusable unless you do add a curb cut.
I would disagree with that. I mean, there's lots of properties that don't have curb cuts on Water Street.
Sure.
Scott, is there any way you can show us where public parking, like if we were to even consider anything that would be in that 300-foot radius? Because obviously anything on Water Street, you couldn't, in the wintertime, you have to be off the road between 2 and 6, so that's not...
You may recall the parking study that was done a few years ago, mm-hmm. and this is part of that parking analysis map. And it breaks down parking in each block.
Right.
So you have parking supply, parking surplus, parking demand. So here is each one of those blocks is colored. I don't see those numbers, but like this yellow block, that's the total parking availability for that 65 spaces. And that includes public parking and private parking. So all those parking lots on there, plus all the parking along Water Street, River Street, all part of that parking supply for that block. Then the parking demand is 43, so they look at all these particular uses and count up what the parking demand for each one of those is, and that's 43 spaces. So that comes up here, the parking surplus or parking deficit. And this instance is a surplus of 22 spaces. Keep in mind that, you know, a lot of those spaces are privately owned. It could change. I do know that, you know, Harbor House has looked at expansion and eliminating that. So, you know, that's one consideration when you look at these things. But the parking, you know, around here, you got River Street, spaces along there, and then Water Street. The spaces on River Street are regulated by that no parking at 2 a.m.,
right.
That kind of thing. That's rarely enforced except in the wintertime.
Right.
You know, just for obvious reasons. Wow. The parking along Water Street is 2 hours. Then there's the parking lot, the old Foshman property, mm-hmm. that's a public parking there. And then you've got other additional, you know, on-street parking on River Street and Water Street there.
How close is the public parking lot that's being leased by State right now?
State isn't leasing that lot.
That lot right there?
Yeah, that's public parking.
Well, Mike Kane sent me the lease agreement that they have.
For parking or for other use?
For other use.
Yeah. From there is 373.
I think inherently that just creates the biggest challenge. I'm not sure exactly where.
Well, that's the thing. You kind of got competing interests here. parking requirements that kind of sometimes you have no ability to meet those on street or within a distance of these areas. So, you know, how do you balance those interests?
Difficult.
Yeah, difficult.
I genuinely have to believe that you have to, it's going to be a residence they need somewhere they can park. I just don't know where, even if we were to allow, I just don't see it. Anybody on the board have any comment?
Well, first of all, the parking in back, I agree with Larry, it doesn't make sense. Hard to get to, and you hate to put a parking lot overlooking the river. Number two, parking in between the two buildings doesn't make sense because what you gain, you lose by a curb cut. So, and parking to the right of the building in that 8 foot is not up to the code. So, our only option would be to look at waiving the parking requirement, in my mind. And I'm glad you brought those numbers up, so we have 20 access, but the dilemma is wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, all of those retail stores from the BRI to Harborside to Buster's and across the street, Mather's, and the two small buildings right there on the corner, they're not providing private for retail space. So we're really only talking two spots for housing. We're not talking any retail.
Are we talking two or four? Because there's two units proposed.
But yeah, they're one bedroom.
But they're one bedroom, so it's one parking space per unit.
Correct.
Right. And so let me just include here. So the whole issue comes down to two retail spots and two residential spots, and we're only to have to find two spots.
Right.
I mean, it seems like once you simplify it, we're only having to find two spots, and I would be in favor of being creative to find two spots, not to eliminate housing or retail.
I got a question. More so for the development idea. With the residential units, it's been a topic. I know I'm the planning commission and the city commission. What's the idea with the residential units? I know there's an apartment currently. With the residential units, are you looking to do short-term rentals out of them, long-term rentals? What's the idea with those residential units?
The idea was to set them up for both. We're not trying to pack in a bunch of stuff into one area for a bunch of short-term stuff. We already have both short-term and long-term rentals.
Mm-hmm.
I think the short-term thing is could be a trend. So we're kind of establishing it for both dollar-wise. We need a short-term rental. You know, the money helps recoup probably project costs for buildings, and build out will exceed probably $1.2 million plus. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to get that back at just rentals quickly. Again, it's been a long-term investment. We want it for the downtown, so we realize we're going to take a hit with some of the commercial space rentals right now, just so we can have retail shops. We want flags and kite shops and that kind of stuff downtown. So in order to be able to do that, like we already have offers for professional levels to rent the place, but we don't want to do that. So to answer your question, I don't know, it'll probably start out in the short term, but we're keeping our options open. And for the record, we don't want to put a car in between the buildings. We don't want to put anything in the back. That's not even viable, really. I don't know how you can turn around. We've worked with everything with our neighbors, so this is the biggest surprise to us all of a sudden. So we're hoping that we can figure something out with you guys.
Right, because with a short-term versus a long-term rental, that's going to be impactful on how often those parking spaces are filled, essentially. The short-term rentals have typically about 50% occupancy rate. But that was my question.
Thank you. Yeah, and during the wintertime, you're not going to get as many short-term rentals.
Yeah.
Depending on what I'm
thinking.
I have a question for the developer. Have you guys approached, and I'm just asking, like, neighbors across the way to see if they would be willing to work with you guys? Because they've got a pretty large private lot at their disposal.
I haven't. We just discussed that I would probably swing down there. I know Bob a little bit. I've looked at what we can do with some of the Dilworth space. The space, I know a couple of houses next to the Dilworth were purchased by Bob Grove. I've kind of looked at some of the options. I'm the contractor with the Dilworth.
Okay.
So we've looked at a few things with that. We have another project up the road that we'll probably see again from us coming up on another thing. Again, it's the same thing. We're going to be parking issues. But I don't think that that's it's kind of out of this boundary a little bit. I think we might be able to make it on our own property. So we pursued a lot of things. You know, we Turkey Development probably 15 years ago, 12 years ago. They donated its parking space to the city, which was over by the Marathon downtown, which was the parking behind it was given to them, which would have probably accommodated some of the stuff. So
move that over.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that little section right there behind the
yeah, right behind the track.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So not quite in the 300-foot zone. But,
right. Like I said, my biggest reservation for just is wintertime, specifically, just because of the snow removal issue, and you know people trying. We give you guys some relief, and they try and use this because naturally they're going to want to park as close as they can. That's my biggest reservation, personally. And it's just because, and then nothing else seems to really fall inside that 300-foot.
Well,
but at the same time, I also
at the same time, you know, you have the ability to waive or reduce the right. number of spaces, so I think you would have a similar flexibility on that 300-foot.
Right.
You know, if you find a one that's 400 feet away, and I think the planning commission can make that discretion saying, yeah, that will work.
It's kind of too bad Buster's wouldn't consider an alley through their
yeah.
property. That would just make too much sense.
That would be ideal.
Or allow you to allot two of those spaces or something. I don't agree. Yeah, because that would just take us back to the parking behind the buildings.
Yeah. You can't make the turn at the back of the building with that east side lane.
I don't see
it. It's too tight.
Yeah, not with the current.
Yeah, I think those pictures have a hard time. Because that looks like it's a pretty deep slope coming off the back side there.
It's a steep slope. Off.
But you can always build up a slope with, you know.
You get close to the river. But there's, like you said, there's only 8 feet. Next to that building, and that curb cut doesn't line up with that 8 feet, so they're going to have to encroach across that and then build some kind of area back there, which I don't know if it's really viable or the best solution.
Because that would be ideal. Then we wouldn't have to deal with this trying to find other spaces.
So I guess in essence of the board, they're here to, I assume, figure out if we'd be willing to work with them on giving them some relief on this requirement. So I would appreciate some input from each of you on how you feel about that. Jim?
Well, I'd really like to see them be able to do it. And I sympathize with you trying to contact the owners of Buster's, because I was trying to get them to come to Team Boyne and just talk, you know, and they, you know, email, telephone, you know, finally once I got lucky and got the wife, but, you know, it didn't develop into anything. And who knows what sort of financial position they're even in right now with, since the restaurants closed down. I think winter's the problem because, you know, even if we said, okay, you know, we'll give you that relief, I think you're setting yourself up for problems with the neighbors, you know, if it's 20 degrees, 10 degrees and windy, and you have somebody renting one of those upstairs units, they're not, you know, they're just not going to want to park. They're going to park in Harbor House, you know, and then when Michelle comes to work early in the morning, it's going to be a problem. So I think that's just kind of setting up for problems, unless there was a define the space somewhere. And you said, this is where you can park, this is the legal place you can park. And I think that would be the best way to handle this, if you can somehow buy or rent a parking place somewhere. And of course, that drives up your costs, which is the problem anyway. So I don't know, I'm certainly willing to listen to ideas. And I like the idea that you want to keep it retail, and I like the idea of downtown housing too. So,
yeah.
You know, if whether it's short-term or long-term rental, those people are going to shop in the stores and eat in the restaurants. So well, that's something we want to encourage.
Do you have any thoughts?
I agree with Jim 100%. And then to add on to that, my earlier statement, I don't want to lose the opportunity of retail and housing units for us wavering two spots, which then puts it back on their shoulders to maybe work with Dilworth or Mather's or those two little stores there, or River Street, well, River Street's public parking. Somehow find, as Jim said, a designated spot, which would take the relief off of wintertime. But in the big picture, I am for wavering the two spots, which doesn't help them in the winter.
Right.
But I, again, I don't want to lose opportunity over two parking spots when we have 20 accessible.
Correct.
9 months out of the year.
Yeah, surplus.
Sure. Yeah.
Monica, do you have any thoughts?
Well, are we talking two or one? Because it looks like on one of these drawings that we have one on the side of the building, on the east side.
There's an area to park.
Okay.
There's not a legal parking space per ordinance standard.
Right.
So
okay.
So, you know, it doesn't prevent them from parking there or having people park there. But in regards to your considerations, you can't consider those parking spaces.
Okay.
But you could think of that as part of your consideration if you thought the waiver. There's other circumstances that you could consider that may be one.
My idea would be to somehow figure out how to get it out of the out in back. And instead of doing a curb cut coming out between the two buildings on Water Street, accessing from the back side of parking space in between the buildings. So where the big red X is, to somehow access the spot there. That would be my ideal, but I do understand that we do want downtown housing. We do want the retail space maintained. And I'm definitely willing to work with them to try and come up with ideas. I'm not against the development in any way. I don't have a suggestion other than trying to make parking out back work.
Yeah, I walk in the back and via the topography and the proximity to the river, I would not want to park back there. It's like, am I going to skid into the river? It's like,
well, it would have to be a berm and build up.
A berm and a wall.
Well, they said they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's not
so I agree with what's been previously said, that you know it's you don't want to throw out the development for two parking spaces, but by the same token, I'm having a hard time with the not allowing an additional curb cut that during the wintertime by rights you can get some relaxation that the one street spot is now in between the two buildings, and by rights on a real bad night you can stack two cars in there if you have to. So I'm still not a waiver would be great, but again it puts the burden on them to find something, a sign. It would definitely need to be a sign, otherwise it's going to be taken. think that's going to be the, that would be the winner.
So any other thoughts? No, it's sad.
There's a little wide next to Mathers. I think he still owns that little house.
At least, yeah.
Does he have parking out back?
There's a little alley up on the back there.
There's, right here.
I know there's an alley, but I didn't know there's parking back there.
Right here.
Yeah. That's what I mean, there was like two little spaces behind that house there.
I mean, he'd be somebody to contact for, and he'd be within the 300 feet.
For sure.
Lou's the kind of guy who's looking for a way to make a buck.
And that retail business or that building doesn't have nighttime business.
No. So, I mean,
My biggest motivation is definitely nighttime in the wintertime.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right.
100%.
Yeah, and I mean, that's across the street.
Right.
So that to me seems very viable.
No, that's all right. I'm excited to see more opportunities, hopefully, for future development of Boyne. We're always going to have a parking issue. Mm-hmm. Always, no matter what project it is. I would be open to the idea of waiving it, but it's, again, it leaves the responsibility up to them. But I think if you go to any, I know Boyne's small, but if you go to some cities downstate, you'll find that, people park 2, 3, 4 blocks away to get to their apartment.
Right.
So, and yes, we do have winter, the city plows in the winter, but it doesn't stop people from parking on the streets. So our plows are constantly dodging cars. And I mean, because and it doesn't plow on the police force, it's not enforced. We'd rather have people stay, or their vehicle stay there than drive drunk home, because it's usually bar hopping cars. So, and that makes I think I would be for, waiving these 2 spots, or, having the extension of, they can use the park for parking.
This does not prevent anybody from parking in a public space. If they rent it out, they can park there.
Yeah, sure.
And they can't use those parking spaces to meet ordinance standards. But it's something you can consider.
They would be restricted to that 2-hour time.
Along the street, but in this parking lot, that's unlimited.
Yeah.
Oh, those are considerations you can make if you want to think of waiving those 2 spaces.
And behind the park too, correct? Is that 2, or is that 2-hour parking right
there? This is unlimited except for that 2 a.m.
Gotcha.
6 a.m. Yeah. 2 to 6 a.m.
Is the Boston lot got the same requirement?
No, that's unlimited.
Unlimited 24 hours.
And the library lot isn't that far away.
Right. Right. I wonder if Jim White would even consider another guy who's always looking for a lot over at Boyne City Motel.
Oh,
man. I mean, he could easily get rid of the Boyne bus, which is no longer usable, and he would have some viable spots over there.
All right. Any more thoughts from the board? All right.
Well, I guess one more would get. If you queued 2 cards to the right, to the east, really it's just a contract between you and Harbor House to use their egress, their curb cut. And you said you've explored that.
We've discussed it with Michelle. She has plans for that, so anything that she gives us for easement, she's been very accommodating to previous owners, and she's great to deal with. But if she, whatever her plans are, if she decides to build up her property or whatever she does, then that would inhibit her from her future plans. So she's really can't do much to help us. But she's tried.
Okay.
But I don't want to push it because she's such a good neighbor. So.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I can't categorize everybody's thoughts, but I would say that it sounds like from the board we're all willing to work with you guys. It sounds like we'd also like to also you guys put a little effort to see if you can find a neighbor that'd be willing to designate some spaces, particularly for the wintertime and snow plowing time. Otherwise, I'm excited, just like everybody else on the board, to see somebody want to revitalize and develop that property. So, I'd love to hear back from you guys, But I certainly get the feel everybody here is willing to work with you guys.
Okay, so what I've done is I've taken, we have the plans with the architect. I pulled the plug on that. Because I don't want to build a run.
Right.
So I guess we have no problem blanking and everybody and talking and everybody shaking hands, and that's just, good for everybody. So we'll certainly do the whole sweep of the area. Should I pursue the, I was hoping to bring my crew over there to start the demo process, because we're going to be, we are reducing our schedule, another project, and we're hoping to bring them over there. So I guess it's, should I delay the project? I guess I don't know where to stand. We've sat on it for a year now, because of some various reasons with scheduling, planning, and moving the crews over. Now we were kind of caught off guard by the parking, so it's kind of standstill. Do we put more money into it at this point, or do we just dead stop it? And I don't mind, I'm definitely going to go after it, because I don't want phone calls. None of us want to manage a day-to-day complaint issue.
Right.
We just, just want it to run and be simple.
So it's unique that there's already one apartment already there.
Yeah.
Without there being parking to accommodate the residential unit that's already existing. But with your demo, do you have to demo the retail space? Are you looking for like an answer from us as far as starting at the residential portion of the demo?
Well, for us to do anything, the building needs siding on it. Everybody's probably seen the building. Mm-hmm. The building needs siding, it needs new roofs, it needs, the insides need all new electrical. It needs a lot of work to the building. I mean, the bones are great on the building, but it's hard for us to start and do one thing, because anything's going to start costing a lot of money. We need to get the plans up. We can't add on to the electrical. We're breaking everything down into individual units, and so we're kind of either all in or we're not in. And that's just all we can do now.
So I guess I'm the president here. Can we even make a recommendation like that at this stage in a preliminary review? That would be more of a formal consideration.
Yeah, I mean, you can give them an idea
of
what you would determine. And to say that having a unit is unique to downtown, that's not. There are others downtown that don't have any parking.
Well, sure.
So that would not be a unique strategy.
We have residential without parking spaces downtown?
Yes.
I didn't mean as in unique, as in this would be a one-off case. I understand there's several of them.
Yeah.
Well, there's four or five apartments on Water Street there in
right.
One building.
Yeah.
They have no private parking.
Yeah, they park in that lot there.
Yeah, behind Subway and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of these things that the electrical will be needed for retail no matter what, the siding will be needed no matter what. But yet, we cannot make any hard and fast promises until it's a formal presentation. So I don't think we can go on record saying unequivocally this is. Yes, I think there is a general trend that we would be receptive to waiver, but in a lot of, obviously a preliminary stage is something we can move, and there's nothing that you can necessarily.
Well, I mean, just for argument's sake, I mean, why couldn't we just say, okay.
And that's the uniqueness in,
yeah,
I guess, me utilizing that terminology is there has been an apartment already above one of the buildings.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's used as an office for the business, is what I've been up there 100 times, and it's
regardless, it's a residential unit above the building right now.
Sort of.
There are several residential units above downtown businesses on Water Street right now. So I guess the consensus is, with that knowledge, I think, it's pretty clear what they're asking here and what the solution would be.
I think you do have to look at it in regards to the evidence that you can consider as part of the waiver. Looking at those factors, do you see enough there that justify a waiver of those spaces?
In terms of promoting development, my answer would be yes.
Yeah, why not? And it's up to them. I think they know it would be easier if they found some spots.
Right.
They don't want nighttime phone calls and
right.
figure it out.
Right?
Right?
But I said, it sounds to me like a majority of the board would be willing to consider the waiver.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It's better than parking next to the river and sliding in.
You can't make that.
I think that's about as good as you can do.
Yeah, it's about as good as we can do.
Very safe.
Yeah, I mean, we've given you the advice that we think, from a neighborly civic standpoint, you'd be best off if you found some spots. Also, from the standpoint of not getting midnight phone calls or 6 a.m. phone calls from Michelle or whoever the new owner of her company is. But, you know, and you guys own a lot of property downtown. You want to be good neighbors. You'll find a way to make it work. I mean, where I think about it, I think we should just do it.
They'd have to make a formal application to come to you to make
right.
a final.
Sure, yeah. Right. Yeah. We're just, this is a preliminary review, obviously.
Yeah.
But on that note, I definitely would be willing to say it sounds like you have the board support. We're behind that.
It sounds like it. We'll approach everybody. We'll just try and, I mean, we want to simplify. Again, we do not want phone calls. We already have too many of those going on. So.
Well, and even if you came to an arrangement with somebody, is it going to be a 99-year lease? I doubt it. You know,
right.
So you know, you got to make it work somehow. Yeah. So.
All right. I look forward to seeing you guys again.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. All right. We'll close that issue, and we will go back to a preliminary review. Scott, if you could quickly.
We received an application for a preliminary review.
Thank you, guys.
For 1030 Bay Street.
Bay Ridge.
And that is located. Off of Hull Street. It's the last parcel of the city. Right here. Now vacant, about a 10-acre parcel. It's in the rural estate district. They have submitted a concept survey that shows four parcels accessed by a 50-foot easement that would terminate at the last parcel. The ordinance stipulates that a zoning permit cannot be issued for a parcel unless it's a developed street. Right now, there's not a developed street that would access three of those parcels. The only one that would be Hull Street. Bay Ridge is a private driveway that used to serve a home that was located here in the northwest corner that was tore down probably 4 or 5 years ago. So the application now is to look at, is there an ability to establish a private road? There's a consideration that needs to be done as part of that. I provide you these ordinance standards in regards to that. Obviously, private roads from the ordinance are not encouraged, and there's a specific findings that need to be made if we do require a private road. With that being said, a private road does not alleviate certainly the requirements to build the road to municipal standards. It just gives relief on the 50-foot easement as opposed to a 66-foot easement. So Jamie Woodall's here, and
so Aaron Theodore, the builder, was supposed to be here, but he has a 16-year-old son who's having a birthday party tonight, so he just absolutely could not make it. So I'm standing in for Aaron, actually. Scott, just for a moment, can we go to Marshall Fields, just a click over from there?
Okay,
so Marshall Fields right here has a pretty steep incline, and it goes up. There's about 5 property owners along there. Unfortunately, there's not enough room for even 2-car passing very easily. It's even for emergency access. What
we're wanting to do, this is Pat Rocos. Pat is wanting to purchase the property he and Kim, and they have a unit over at Somerset Point, in the area for years. And they would love to purchase this property, keep a lot for themselves, most likely build on that lot. And then Ferguson and Chamberlain did a four-lot, three-split on that property. And so each of those lots would be about 2.5 to 3-acre lots and would allow for beautiful homes. We've had a ton of interest, and so we have. But coming back to the main point here, the request is for Bay Ridge Lane to actually be a shared driveway with the cul-de-sac turnaround at the end. Allowing enough width, it would be a 15-foot paved road that allows enough width for service vehicles to pass by and ensure emergency access to each of those lots and adequate turnaround space for them at that cul-de-sac. So rather than a 66-foot wide easement, it would be a 50-foot wide easement. And then the request would be for a 15-foot wide paved road or a 16-foot wide paved road. And we're really, more than anything, looking for your consideration on that whole thing. Just to give you a little history on this property has been on and off the market for the last 10 years. And if you ask the seller, if you talk to a couple knowing realtors in the area, brokers, they would tell you that one of the main reasons why it hasn't sold is because people are afraid of that road development cost. And so we had a quote done by Vince Carpenter with Montai Construction, $220,000. And that's not with electric put in the ground and hooked up, or gas. Those are just the other lines. Aaron Theodore does have documentation from Mark Fowler, email documentation that said that he would approve individual services with sewer and water versus main, which would help on the width of the easement. That would mean that it wouldn't have to be as wide of road or easement. So the request is to consider allowing this to be a better road than even Marshall Fields, allowing emergency access, and to put that road in place at a much less cost. One last thing is that if we did the full cost, we would be asking new owners of those properties to put in anywhere from probably $60,000 to $80,000 per lot just to have that cared for. And it's not been realistic or been able to pass in the past buyers and things. So any questions on that? Did I make some?
Well, it's seven lots, and it's $31,000 per lot, not including, that's just for the road. I mean, the way you're drawing is it's seven lots.
No. Oh, no, it's four.
It's bisecting the lots.
The road comes through each of those four lots, Jim. Does that make sense? So no. You have...
there's not units on my name.
It's bisecting the lots. So you own each side of the proposed road.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The road was already in place.
Yeah, so this survey shows that those would be whole parcels, just bisecting by section.
It would be a four on one side and then a lake view hole on the other.
What would be on one side?
Okay. So right here would be probably an opportunity to put like a pole barn and then a lake view on this side. Don't want to get too caught up in the details, but this road was already here and then the survey was made.
Okay.
And so
thank you for clarifying. I was about to ask the same thing as why would you have a road bisecting a lot?
Why not do seven lots?
Exactly.
They're 2.5, 3 acres. That's plenty big.
Well, I believe what we'd like to do
acres to do the four split?
No, no. Each parcel is allowed four parcels.
Oh.
Then you have over 10, you get an additional split.
Okay, I thought it had to be 10 to get four.
No.
Okay.
As long as you meet minimum ordinance standards for size.
So it's, yeah, it's 9.65, and then Aaron Theodore would be the one who would most likely be involved with each of these owners on those lots. And working on these things. So if Pat, I mean, the way that it can be purchased is through, you know, just looking at putting in a good road that services emergency vehicles. But is not so costly that it brings a hardship to anyone purchasing or whatever.
Scott, could you give us a background on the 66-foot easement as opposed to a 50-foot easement? Is it because of utility?
Well, 66-foot easement is pretty standard public road easement.
Okay.
That's in our municipal standards, and pretty much any municipality with a public road standard is going to have 66-foot. And that's typically allowed for utilities, sidewalks, all the other, you know, ditching, whatever you need within that.
Now, but that a private road would fall under that 66-foot requirement as well as a public road?
Like I put in my staff report, section 2495, an easement provided on less than 50 feet in width can be done for a private road. However, there's a criteria, section B of that, says the use of private roads must be supported by documentation accepted by the planning commission that the property possesses unusual configuration and or topography which render construction of streets under city standards for grades, radii, width, and materials is practical. If you would notice, cost is not a thing that you can justify your decision on. It's unfortunate, but that's what the ordinance parameters are.
Okay. I think you've patch progress in downstate Bay City. You have had a place, my wife and I had Somerset for 7 years or so, and we love the area, and this is where we at some point plan to retire, and this, we did stumble across this property, and you know, one of my concerns was need to talking with other listing agents before we are doing the due diligence process, well, we can put the purchase agreement on it, it's accepted, and why hasn't this sold before? And it's come down to, in talking with other listing agents, the cost of this, the cost to put a full-blown city road 22 feet wide, just, it doesn't make the venture, it doesn't make it work. This survey was done by the current seller. I don't know if there's any, if it makes a difference if we split, use two splits and put it into three parcels, if that makes a difference. But I guess I'm just looking for some relief on, you're talking a private drive, built with a handle, you know, enough of a turnaround at the end, cul-de-sac at the end for emergency vehicles, but yet some relief for this road would still be built, you know, to be able to handle traffic for, you know, to accommodate the number of vehicles, whether it's three or four households. If it's a big deal, we could pull the other lot, we could pull the other drive off whole road. Maybe just for three, but more see based on reading your ordinance, it has to do with the length of the drive to hit that last lot, correct?
Well, the ordinance is pretty clear that you need to have developed road frontage in order to get a zoning permit. And roads are approved by planning commission. And you have that specific criteria on how you can approve a road, the public or private. So if you don't have a lot of leeway in determining how that road should be constructed.
And there's nothing to share drive. Sure.
There's nothing to prevent you from sharing a driveway, but I still can't issue a zoning permit if you you don't have developed road frontage. The ordinance is very clear in that.
So the cost this year is 7 feet of pavement. Besides the difference, 7 feet of pavement, that's the cost.
Well, from 50 to 66, 16 feet.
16 feet is easement.
Gotcha.
There's no development cost in the easement. That's just set aside property.
Mm-hmm.
There's no development cost in that.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is a 15-foot road versus a 22-foot road. 7 feet of pavement over the length. That's the cost. Am I correct on that? Okay. So that is the difference that we are talking.
So it's about 800 feet, back, with the turnaround things. So, but it is still something that has really prevented people from developing and purchasing the property over the years.
Is there any reason why the road would not be on that back portion?
Yeah, that's what I want.
Because it lines up with Deer Run, and the trees are already cleared. That type of thing, it seems like that would be if we only have
the power lines. From the power lines, correct?
Yeah.
And that's kind of
right. It would be within the easement.
Yeah, it's probably encumbered by that power line easement.
Oh, okay, so there's a power line there. Okay.
Because the green line actually is exactly on the high tension power.
Yeah. All right.
You can see the line.
No, but that's in my mind.
But it still wouldn't negate whether the sheer linear feet of the road.
Right. But I mean, it's still 7 feet of road times, as you say, six.
Yeah, you're probably going to see 650 feet
times 7. So
I learned at the last city commission meeting just how expensive it is, road construction is.
Oh.
And that adds up quite a bit, so I can see the big cost difference.
I can understand what the ordinance is. The ordinance, it's written black and white. It's pretty obvious.
And I guess that's kind of where we go into those conversations with like Steve Chanel and everything, trying to find ways to be creative and finding housing solutions. It would suck to lose the opportunity to have add 4 residential development parcels in Boyne City because of 7-4. I guess it really comes down to is if it's still serviceable, and that's, I guess, the whole point of bringing up Marshall Fields Drive.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is that? Because I'm all about consistency, and that's why I bring up, the residential units already downtown and parking. So the consistency with the Marshall Fields, what is that compared to what you're asking for right now?
So this would be wider than Marshall Fields, I believe. Marshall Fields is...
8 feet, if you're lucky.
Yeah, it's very
nice. My customers live at the end of that road. I know that road very well.
It's a planned unit development, though, isn't it?
No.
Marshall Fields?
No.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
Is it classified as a private road or just shared?
It's a private road as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
How it was developed, whether it's actually ever reviewed or approved.
Before your time.
That's why this ordinance is where it is now.
And just kind of getting down to black and white, with if it's 8 foot or whatever it is, what's the true reasoning? Is it because the fire truck can't get down there now? Is it because an ambulance can't get down there now? I guess that's where following consistency and finding ways to be creative. Because every single, I don't know if every single individual, but on a personal level, I've committed myself to try and find creative ways to increase residential projects for Boyne City, because we have a housing affordability and ability to, housing number issue crisis. So is there issues that are currently present with that private road that we would expect to see if we...
I think the issue here is that the ordinance is written in a way that we don't have a way to provide relief based on the criteria that we have to work with.
So the board board could go and amend the ordinance?
Yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah, so we've done that several times. We've gone back and reviewed roadblocks and maybe we've amended a ton of ordinances in the last couple of years.
Sure.
But as it stands like right now, to Scott's point, there's nothing in the ordinance that allows us to provide relief because none of the things in here are necessarily applicable. So that being said, that means that we would have to go through that whole process of looking at and discussing what needs to be changed. As for the commission after that, right?
It would be a legislative act to amend an ordinance, and that's, you're looking at a 3 to 6 month process.
Right.
Is there a reason why you don't want to develop it as a PUD, plan unit development?
So, I wasn't ruling it out, but if the views, you know, it's a very heavily wooded lot.
Yeah.
The view, you know, Lakeview Estates, right, has some nice
slope to it.
Right, so that the, what did I say, the farther west properties, because they are higher than the ones across the street, they limited, it really levels out. And I, you know, Jane, trust me, we talked this back and forth about what's the best use of the property from a dollar standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. My wife and I want to keep one lot. And we thought the infrastructure piece would be higher, because considerably higher because of the water, sewer, natural gas, electricity. Because it's such a short distance, those are being forced off Hull Road, and the engineering's been approved for that.
There's two other things with that. When we talked, I talked with Pat O'Brien, I talked with Jim Evans, who has worked a long time in this area too. And you know, they said the 4-lot is, in their opinion, much more doable. Because when you do split them up into lots, then your road's going further, farther around at times. And then you also have the absorption rate. You know, how long is it going to take for those lots to sell and things like that?
And that's not our problem.
Oh, I know. Understand.
That's your problem, not ours.
I understand.
And some of it, if you went farther south, you know, there's several vacant lots in a PUD still, you know, listed for sale, and it's been for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So that was part of our thought, though. This would be so unique, right? The 4
it's
lots.
It's a nice parcel. Mm-hmm. No question about it. It's a nice parcel.
My biggest concern is we just don't have the tools and the existing ordinance to even provide relief. I mean, that's the problem. Based on the criteria, is the problem. So we have a couple options here. We can either put it up for discussion in a future meeting to review this ordinance and see if, you know, be creative to them and see if we can figure out a way to provide a relief in a situation like this. It's not that I don't think that a 50-foot easement and the 16-foot road sounds fine, but we just don't have the authority to just grant that.
But as a plan unit development, we could approve it.
No.
Okay.
Clarify that, please.
Because you don't really have a plan unit development.
But if they proposed it as one.
Like, Harbridge Heights is under that residential cluster housing ordinance. And that streets were developed as public streets. So you really don't have that tool of flexibility of plan unit development. Our ordinance doesn't provide that. So the only place where private roads aren't is where it's either a subdivision or a manufactured housing development. You know, those private roads are incorporated in those kinds of uses. So any other, like site condominium, land split, you're looking at your road standards as written.
Okay.
So, besides Harbridge Heights, is there other examples of private roads?
Sheffield Drive, remember? Yeah, that's pre-ordinance.
Yeah.
Let's have something a little bit more.
Yeah. I think you can't really, the ordinance is what the ordinance is today. And that's, sins of the past, you really can't say, well, they did it before, we have to do it now.
the ordinance is written and you are bound to abide by it. But you also have the ability to change it. So if you see there are things that you would like to address this particular issue, you can discuss that.
And that was the point of my part of the discussion is if we have examples of where we can get by, and this, say this ordinance was created because at some point in time we thought there was you can't get a fire truck down there. But if we show them consistently multiple other areas where we have the opportunity of that width of that road and it's not presenting an issue, maybe it's time to look at the ordinance to again look at how we can be creative to find additional development opportunities. Because maybe that ordinance is over restricting the ability to find additional developmental opportunities.
Are you looking to run water and sewer down that road too?
Yes.
Is that going to be an issue?
They're doing service lines, they're not running mains.
Okay.
Which back to Larry's point.
Yeah.
If you don't run mains, I think the 210,000 would be reduced significantly if you had service lines and not your main 6-inch or 8-inch lines, which might help bring that 210 down, which allows you to go from 16 feet to 22 feet. I mean,
It would reduce some. And we're looking for all ways to do that properly. I think...
66 foot accommodate sidewalks, you're probably not going to propose sidewalks, or do we have to require sidewalks?
That's a discretion of the board. Do you like Manny Lane development, if those were required?
They were or weren't?
Were.
Would curb be required and all that as well? Or
Actually, trying to get away from curb, trying to do swales or natural infiltration.
Is there a potential to mix paved and gravel?
Not now.
Mm-hmm. Mix what, Larry?
Pavement and gravel.
No, oh,
like a shoulder or something comes over.
Just a wider shoulder. I mean, when you first of all, asphalt is pretty inexpensive, especially if you go with a fairly not too thick. But I mean, as far as rewriting the ordinance for 15 feet, I would have a hard time with 15 foot. 16 to 18, I could live with. 15 feet is pretty tight and trying to get two cars by. So that's where you'd have to really have some kind of significant shoulder.
Mm-hmm. I think you're
combination of paved area of 16 to 18 plus a shoulder that you could grab, significant shoulder that you can get two cars by, as far as looking ahead to changing any kind of ordinance. But that's why I'm trying to be creative about, all right, so you've got a certain amount of gravel that, and a certain amount of pavement, could that be considered a combined 22 feet that you've got that amount? Truly reaching here.
I think realistically, you'd have to amend your ordinance.
And you've got room for a 66 foot. You're just adding 16 more feet to the easement.
Yeah, 16.
Is that a fair statement?
We have more.
Okay. So if we timeline, you're saying it's got to take 6 months about to process a ordinance change?
Well, I think realistically you would probably have to discuss what you are going to do next month at the earliest. Mm-hmm. Identify exactly how that language would be to change this to make whatever possible. And then the month after, you would have to have a public hearing. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it would go to the city commission. So you're in March. After that, you have to have at least 30 days from the first to the second reading, so that probably puts it into May. So you're looking realistically probably late May, June before that ordinance is adopted. needs to come back to you for some kind of approval.
And I apologize regarding the lack of the engineering in our proposal. It wasn't for a lack of effort. For seeing this out till to look at anything out to February, and a good friend who owns a small survey and engineering firm in Bay City, and he said he would do it for me, and then he came down with COVID, and he hasn't been back in the office in 2.5 weeks, so it's not for a lack of effort.
Well, this is supposed to just be an informal review process, what we're doing right now, so that's,
yeah. That's fine.
That's the idea, is that you don't have to do that.
Right.
I mean, to think creatively, the city should finance this. This is going to be four houses that are going to be worth $600,000 each.
With the SDV investment.
And then, well, how much tax revenue are we going to get for that? And we're all, you know, quibbling about 7 feet of pavement.
So as
I'm just, I know that's crazy, but
yeah, but it's setting a precedent.
Yeah.
You don't know what the next person who wants proposes something. And is it going to generate the same kind of
thing?
And we have to be fair.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I mean, I appreciate all of you serving on this. This is my first time really interacting with you guys. Being apart from this right here, in my own personal interest to see this go through, I do think about, like what Jim was saying, you know, just we've got four lots, and as a community member, I think, okay, it's right here. I know the location probably doesn't matter as much. It's still within the city, but it's right there on the edge toward Great by Wilson Township, and I just think the tax dollars that can come from these homes. And I do think they're going to be anywhere from 500 to 1.5 for these homes. And that's not the only homes that I work with. I work with all kinds, but that's what I think about the city.
I would say that this is not the only opportunity something like this exists. I know at least four different transactions that have fallen through because you can't do it. It's not viable. The same exact scenario, like just within city limits.
So Scott, I mean, I've read through this about 1,000 times now. What language can we change here that would allow us to leave on the width of the road we're talking about?
Well, you'd have to look at your private road standards. And you know, rewrite those to allow maybe a little more flexibility. Or like Jamie was talking about shared driveways, I've seen other ordinances that allow access by a shared driveway, you know, and kind of incremental improvement requirements for how many units may be served, like a private drive that serves two units, maybe 12 feet of pavement, it's fine. Something that serves four units, you know, a little higher. So that's another avenue.
So it may not be this specific.
Yeah, I mean,
24.95 would be amended. It might be another amendment that allows more flexibility in this scenario.
I would encourage you to look at this standard and maybe supplement it with something. So that's the road you would want to go down.
Okay.
So it would be, well, I think you're onto something because it's kind of like a gradation.
Yeah.
A private road serving what, eight units?
One lot, two lots, 10.5. Yeah,
would be, yeah, anything over six would have to go to a
right.
22, maybe
right. Yeah.
8 feet, but designated as either private road or shared driveway. It's,
yeah, if it
it's
had
kind
to be.
Of, kind of like a nomenclature in there.
Yeah, so, you know, those are all discussion items, but, you know, with the understanding that that would be specifically a private road, and you know, the onus for maintenance and upkeep and all that stuff's going to rely on them, never be the ability to make it a public road. So.
And that would have to be something we present to our city attorneys for.
Every ordinance change is always submitted to the attorneys.
Yeah.
Scott, this would fall under our task of taking away barriers. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay. Agreed. Right, well, I think we should potentially put this on the agenda, have Scott come up with maybe some areas where we could look at the existing ordinance, where we could maybe have the tools to provide relief in this area.
Well, I think we should also look at our standards and what are the widths that are appropriate.
Yeah,
right.
Scott mentioned that as well.
That would be part of the task. Yeah. But is that to put on the fast track, could we request that staff, Scott, has
stuff for us next month?
Yeah.
That would be my intention, yeah. They have some language to look at, but it's not going to be ready for a public hearing yet.
No, which
sections of ordinance we would look at with the language.
Yeah, I'll give you some ideas and, you know, for this discussion.
I think that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, and would that help you guys?
Greatly.
That would improve.
Yes. You wait for it.
I think it's the best we can do right now.
But it's going to help us too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's not just one, right, at least three different.
It gives us an opportunity to look, it brings potential scenarios that we could potentially make some improvements, but there is a process. So Scott, I think that's the way.
Okay, this will be an agenda item next month for discussion.
Yes.
Please.
Cool.
All right, gentlemen.
Can I ask one question?
Absolutely.
So thanks a lot for your open this. Just wondering, we have a seller who is, you know, on the other side, who's very, you know, just worked up over all this, of course. He's waited a long time. See this soon. I know this takes time for the process and everything. Is there any way we can just get an idea of what kind of support there might be for this going forward?
I think there's a great deal of support.
Yeah, well, you have to keep in mind, this is just one part of the equation. This is the planning commission that proposes language. We still have to go to the city commission to adopt it. So this commission can't speak for, there's two members on that commission.
Correct.
That maybe give you an idea, but we cannot speak for that commission, what they ultimately do.
Well, much less any comments from a public hearing.
But in terms of this point, I feel like everybody here is supporting the idea of definitely reviewing the ordinance.
This isn't the kind of thing that's going to have neighbors complaining, right? Oh, you're going to put the place.
Somebody that got turned down in the past, we're going to be here.
I think like you say, now there's a room might be excited, there's only four of us. I mean, I'm sure they probably want to see just one, but.
Or none.
But at some point, someone's going to, you know.
Right.
Well, again, we're surprised you're not splitting it into seven, just that.
Could easily, but there would be no views on the other, on the west side, there would be no views on the lake.
I think development-wise, with the popularity of storage barns and things of that nature, the concept is great.
Oh, the concept is interesting. You're right.
I was originally thinking when you were doing it, I really was. I started talking, thinking more about it, and I don't know if I'll go back to that.
Just to the south, there's several lots. If you were looking for a half acre lot, there's several lots much more inexpensive than what we're talking on.
Very true. So this is a step up. So you are offering something additional to what's already out.
A couple of acres, two and a half acres.
I love that over there.
I just love how good they are.
With the view of the lake.
Exactly. All right, so we'll put it on the agenda for next discussion. Thank you guys.
All right.
Have a wonderful evening. Merry Christmas. All right. Let's move on to item C, public engagement.
As you may recall, this kind of was a product of some kind of poll. So we can have this discussion now, or I don't know if you want to wait for her and Dan Aaron, because I think she has some ideas.
I do think we said, especially since the poll is the one that brought this to the forefront and asked us to kind of get on the agenda, it would behoove us to push it off to our next meeting, please.
I know that the city manager is looking at ways to broadcast the meetings and looking at the technology needed for that and exploring that. And I think that we would piggyback along with that, but I mean, there'd be other ideas about specific engagement techniques that we want to discuss. So we'll put this on next month as well.
All right.
I think part of the discussion has to be more publicity of what is on the agenda, our issues that are being discussed. That's a little bit more passive than active people looking into the city website. So it's
Be on the agenda.
Yep, we'll bring it up next meeting, so.
Yep.
All right, we have a staff report, Scott.
Just want to touch base, at the city commission meeting, there was a presentation done by me regarding short-term rentals. That's available as part of the city commission packet, if you want to review that. As you may recall, the city commission contracted with Granicus Coast Compliance for address identification service for short-term rentals in the city. As of December, there is about 141, 42 units in the city. And if you go through that presentation, you'll see where they're at, different zoning districts, and some other information about those units. And also, Oscar Barton did the presentation as well. That's on, that's part of that package, and you can review that. She had a little more specific analysis of units as opposed to, I was looking at the entire totality of them. So the charge is, the mayor is going to work with city staff to identify the parameters, to explore this topic, and come back to the city commission with recommendations how to move forward, to gain garner public input, perhaps put together, you know, a task force to develop some recommendations to mitigate any issues that we see resulting from the short-term rental in the city. So I anticipate that will probably be next month that they'll have that discussion, and then we'll move forward from there. The training has been approved through RRC. I haven't got the date yet, but it looks like January, probably on a Monday, either prior or after our regular meeting date. So as that comes available, I'll let everybody know which meeting that will be.
Perfect.
So that's basically all I got.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Go to the order. I've got one.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, yeah. On a personal note, I just want to reach out to the city and the staff and everyone involved, whomever I knew it was, to make sure that we reach out to the public, let them know the city hall is available, and the power was out for water, shelter. That was really awesome. That was really, really awesome. I'm sure it was a team effort, but I know Tim, you put it out there specifically. That was a really cool thing, because there were a lot of people that were in dire straits. So, yes.
I think like 6 people utilized the water service.
That's awesome. That's super awesome. Mark?
That was shared over 300 times just on the city's
Facebook
page. And then all those people that shared it, and Tim shared it, and how many of those people. I mean,
it was great. So.
It's good to know that in an emergency kind of situation that people are helping spread the word.
Yes, so. All right, anything else? Otherwise, we'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.